opera at the horse show this afternoon, it seems that you were watching the horses more than the riders. And I heard you tell Suzanne that you could forgive the riders anything, but I've got my doubts.
Suzanne was out there with you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Watching.
Yeah, well, Suzanne said, watching me, I was commenting on the riders, and she said she'd never want to ride in front of me again. And I said I could forgive them a lot. So I reassure her. But I don't know. I don't really, not really. I have to work hard to just to forgive a ride or something.
Including yourself?
Oh, yeah, including myself. That's why I got so depressed about Pussy not taking her leads.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got out there and was working her, and she would take the wrong lead. That day I took her out in the back pasture. I'd try and give her one signal, and she took it. She would take the opposite leg. So I'd try the other signal, and she'd still take the opposite leg. And every time I try to, I push her. So I just try to just push her in the canter. And when I tried that, I almost doggone near came off the horse.
Like what I do. Seem like half time is quick.
Now why would this depress you?
Oh, I should be able to, I shouldn't come off a horse just because I tried to get it to canter. But right, like I know I'm supposed to know how to do. I don't. Hey, I get out there and watch them ride, and I just have to keep thinking they don't know any better, or they can't do it yet. I was watching Krista today, and when we first went out there, I told her she was going to catch her own horse. And she says, she sort of started off and she said, do I have to? And I said, yes. Nothing to worry about. And I went up and walked up to Missy and showed him how to walk up to a horse, how to talk to him, how to put the thing on. And Andy was just, oh yeah. He watched me. And then he went charging off after Hubie way too fast. And Hubie walked away a couple of steps, and I told him to slow down, and Hubie was good for once. And Krista's still just standing there. I said, all right, Krista, on your way. And she stands there. She says, do I have to catch Pussy? And I said, yes. Yeah. But Pussy doesn't like me. Oh, Pussy will bite me if I go try to catch her. And I said, well, now, Pussy has never bitten anybody in her life. She's not going to start with you. And she says, well, she won't let me come up to her.
I don't think Pussy ever bit anybody.
I'm sure she hasn't. I'm quite sure she hasn't. She says, she won't let me come up to her. And I said, no, really? Come on. So she went around, and instead of walking up to the front of the horse like I told her to do, she walked up behind Pussy, and Pussy walked off and came over to talk to us. And it took her a good 5 or 10 minutes to get up the courage to walk up to the horse and put the head collar on. And Pussy was just wandering in, saying hello to Missy, and wandered over and said hello to me, and wandered back, said hello to Hubie, and touched noses.
Yeah.
And
with Hubie?
With Hubie, yeah. Even Hubie. Mostly with Molly and Missy. They were all in a group by that time.
Yeah.
And Krista was walking around the edge of the group, would come in to lay a hand on that horse. And finally she came in and she was actually standing in front of it, and I said, all right, we'll put the rope over now. And she started trying to get the rope over, and that gave her real problems because she wouldn't walk around to the side of the horse to put the rope over. But she finally got everything done right and brought Pussy back, got him saddled, and we started riding out. And she, first of all, she just started riding with her hands way up in the air and her legs out in front of her. And I mentioned it to her, she got that straightened out. And then Pussy, who can outwalk any horse here, including Molly, was...
Pussy?
She can.
She did tonight.
She did tonight.
I'll have to see that.
we'll have a walking race. But I was on Missy, and Missy was walking real slow, just hardly, well, not slow, but short, just 1 foot barely in front of the other. But walking out much better than she has been. But I was keeping her back because Hubie's so slow. And I turned around and looked for the lineup, and instead of it being Missy, Pussy, Hubie, like I thought it was going to be, it was Missy, Hubie, and Pussy somewhere way back in the distance. And Krista just looking sort of forlorn and lost up there on that horse. And so I'd slow Missy down, and Hubie would slow down in proportion to Missy, so we could keep our distances about right, about the same, a distance apart while we were going along. And then I started trotting, and somehow or other, Pussy started trotting too, but then she quit. And she's all right to start trotting, but she'll quit. And once she starts quitting, it's hard to get her going again. And Krista says, she won't go. I said, Krista, she will go. Just use your legs. And after a few minutes, after a little bit, I turned around and looked back. And Pussy is still walking. She'd gotten her to trot a couple of steps, and then she was walking again. And I said, all right, Krista, catch up. And I said, I've told her. She knows what I tell her to do to get a horse to go. Tell her to catch up. What happened? Nothing. She just sits there. Absolutely nothing happens. She just sits there and looks forlorn. And I wished and prayed she was on Hubie and said, all right, kick. Because at least if she'd been on Hubie, I would have been sure something would happen, which she did, which might have at least made her feel better. But she didn't. And I said, all right, look, I forgot to give you a stick. And she just is like this with me, even, if I don't have a stick. But use the end of your reins and see what you can do. And she sort of tapped behind her leg with her end of her reins. And Pussy very obligingly trotted a little bit. And then we coming back, we did a little bit more trotting. And, of course, coming back, well, Pussy was all for that. quicker you head back, better. And she was really trotting out. And Krista looked so pleased. But Krista hadn't done anything. And I said, oh, you know, she's doing beautifully. Excellent, Krista. Krista beamed. Then we started, when we got back to a walk, Pussy started falling further and further and further behind. And by the time we got up to the top, back up to the gate, Krista looked mighty forlorn again. And we went out on the road, and she couldn't keep Pussy going nearly as fast as he could be.
Now, Barbara, what does this do? What does this take out of you? Now, this is what interests me. We were talking about the governess now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it takes a good bit out of me. Because I can forgive a horse almost anything. I can get mad at him. I'll be working Pussy, and she doesn't get her leads right. And... or, well, Missy more than Pussy. I work Missy, and she doesn't get her leads right, and I get fussy and cranky and so forth. But I don't hold it against a horse the way I do a rider. And so with the children, I'm always having to think, to stop, and try and forgive them for things that I would never forgive in myself. That I would never forgive in a rider who was supposed to be doing competition. The fact that Krista, who is it worse than Krista? One of the boys always rides with his reins too short.
Jay
always rides with his reins too short. And yet he's just as sensitive to whether he's hurting a horse or not, and yet he creeps up on those reins. And I just have to sort of grit my teeth and tell him again. And it's something like, my real inclination is to say, get off the horse, you're ruining it. You know? Leave the poor animal alone and go find your violin. And you can't say that. He will one day, if he works at it and has the opportunity, be a very nice little rider. You can't say that. But, oh, you just want to sometimes. And it's just, after you've gone through that, this is why, remember I said I dreaded lessons. I might enjoy it while I was teaching, but I dread the thought of going into one.
Now, you weren't tired, particularly when you came back from the horse show, except you'd seen just I realize now it was from watching poor riders. Yes. And then you had Krista. And you were depressed. Now, what does the governess do to you to help?
I have a hard time jumping between my own experiences and something like that.
Or is that right? Mean something to you?
Oh, yes. If it doesn't, if you haven't for the governess yet.
She's in a situation where she can't win, and so am I. As long as I'm teaching, I'm in a situation where I can't win. Because children are children, and I can't change that. And I can't...
I just speak in something like that. It's all the same thing. Well, you feel it. If you feel this a little bit now, you just wait, wait. You just wait until you get going.
Rather not.
Now, the thesis for a while was that if you could face this like the governess and look at it, is that right, Jack?
The older governess.
See the experience. See what teaching does to you as against training a horse or whatever you want to think about it. That you could resolve it.
Yes.
And look at it as an experience.
Well, that's the way. Yeah. That's the reason I bring that up. I work on the assumption that once a person understands what happens, if he has a little diagnosis, he can do something about it. That's not always the case. But that's a reasonable view of it.
Is it a way of avoiding getting into a trap like that?
Yeah, how are you going to keep out of the trap?
You can't. You can look at it. That's the only way. Can't keep out of it in the sense of actually of avoiding it entirely.
It'd be another.
It'd just be something else you'd get into.
You can.
Mentally stand back and look at it.
Yeah, you see what's happening.
See what's happening, and
stay out of it yourself. I think you get over in this. I think you get over into Don Quixote. I think you're getting quixotic, and that's a much older term, you see, than Freudian. I think you can ride a hobby horse like watching a horse and being sympathetic with the horse, but not the rider. I think you can get hipped on that, but that's several centuries old. And I think a person can do that on purpose and watch himself do it and have great delight in doing it. I think people do that deliberately.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could be in your family to do that.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Or anybody's family.
Yes.
Yes,
and yours in particular. Now, I can see myself in that light. I've had a bad day. I got up this morning, half an hour late, and I had to face this trip that I didn't want to go on. Just raw experience. And I'm interested in somebody else's reporting on their experience. I knew I'd go out there and see the experience, but there'd never be any reporting. Now that's what I was up to.
Fine, you see, I was just thinking how much fun, you see, that he's going to be having.
So I babysat, and I babysat with a vengeance. I made the most of it. We looked at the cockadoodle-doo and those old cows out there, and compared to that raw experience and no reporting. When I get home, there's nothing here. Everything's cold, you see. Gone, nothing.
We didn't leave a note.
For it. No note or no reason for it. And I knew from what Farn said that Carla was going to be a groom for one of those horses, that if you'd gone to the horse show, you were up stump. I knew that before you got back. This article of the Newsweek on that vice president's visit attack on the press.
You see?
Oh, that's sad. That's sad. I'm telling you, that press is, the television press is sacred. They're holy. They are holy. And furthermore, they're violent. This thing that Ted Huntley said in there is as scurrilous as man can be without using bad words. It's rough. So today I haven't had any light touch at all. You talk about yours. None.
But this is the lightest touch we've had right now.
Yeah.
This, if you look at it, even just recounting it as you did just then, Barbara,
mm-hmm.
helps to lighten it. This would be my experience, and I've used it. I use it still to see this very thing we're talking about, and let her help. Yeah, that's marvelous. Yeah, let's use it.
Well, I was astonished when I saw that bit of film. Because she's supposed to be one of the top people
in this country
in dressage, and yet that film, that piece of film, was probably the worst little bit of dressage I've ever seen on a horse that was supposed to be trained
her part of
for
it.
Dressage. Yeah, her little, the section that showed her riding. She did about, oh, how many movements they showed there. They showed a walk, they showed trot, they showed
cabriolet,
passage, which is very slow trot, almost in place, and they showed what was a canter. And every one of those movements, there was not one of those movements where that horse was moving happily and freely forward. He held his head up, all right, with the nose to the vertical, all right. That's the way it's supposed to be for a collected horse. But the back end wasn't collected at all. And the whole idea of a collected horse is a horse that's like a spring. He's all brought together. And the idea is being that if you release the spring, the energy will just spring forward. And it's true. You take this dressage horse, put him in full collection, and then ask him to go forward, and he can go in flat out gallop if you like. I mean, or an extended trot, which is really beautiful. Well, this horse couldn't have gone anywhere. Nowhere, but nowhere, because he didn't have any legs underneath him. His hind legs were out behind him someplace. And the result was he was terribly unhappy. And her passage was the only movement that had any lift to it. It was the only one where he got his hind legs underneath him and used them. And even then he wasn't happy, because he kept throwing his head around. He kept opening his mouth too wide and throwing his head a little bit. It was not noticeable, but enough for somebody looking to tell that the horse was unhappy. And then when he started into that canter, I just about died, because that didn't even look like a canter. It was supposed to be a collective canter. Well, Pussy can do three times better than that horse can. And if you think, I don't know whether to figure, well, that's his Spanish training, because he's an imported horse, or whether that's Mrs. Howard. And if it's Mrs. Howard, don't help us. I've always heard that this is supposed to be one of the big problems with dressage in the United States, is that U.S. riders tend to push their horses up to a full collection before they've gotten the hind legs underneath them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But I've never seen I've never seen anybody from the United States riding what's considered doing any dressage. And of course, in hunters, well, heck, they never get collected at all. They're always fully extended, so I never saw anything anything wrong done. All my training, basic training, has been what's proper for dressage. And I'd seen it a little bit in England. One horse I rode tended to overbend a lot. Of course, every horse I touch tends to overbend. I have a heavy, somewhere I've got a heavy touch. Even Pussy overbends with me. This horse that I, this dressage horse I rode in England tended to overbend, and the little Arabian tended to overbend that I rode. So I began to think it must be me. 3 out of 4.
Somewhere along
I've missed. But I could, the little Arabian helped me more than anything. I could ride her, and I could feel that I could just let the reins go and ride her completely with my seat and leg. And she would not go faster. She would bring her hind legs up under her. And she was a young horse. She knew absolutely nothing. So it's very easy to get a sensitive horse like that. Just all you have to do is touch the bit, and they overbend. She did it with other people, too. But I could feel and learn to feel on her how you can just ride a horse with your seat and legs and still get them to get their hind legs underneath them and use them. And it would have been so easy with that horse to ride her with bit, because she tended to go too fast and she tended to rush things and get excited. And it would have been so easy to ride her with bit and have her just with her nose, even in a snaffle, with her nose against her chest and wonder what the heck, why she was overbending. But fortunately, I could watch Celia and see her horses, well, her horse, Corey, was beautifully relaxed most of the time. Now, sometimes he would get terribly, terribly tense, but he was a very sensitive horse, and little things affected him. But normally, when he was performing well, he was beautifully relaxed. And things like that, she did shoulder in, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
This is when she goes sideways down the thing. And her horse was throwing his head up and down and fidgeting and didn't really get a good shoulder in. And Corey could just go down the side of a school and you'd never know that anything had happened, that he was doing anything different from going straight line.
So they used to call that sideline.
Well, Corey would just be just perfectly, he was relaxed and happy, and he wouldn't have his mouth open and he wouldn't be throwing his tail around. His tail would just be relaxed and hang down. That's another little sign. And his canters, no matter how slow he got, you always knew what gait he was doing. My Lord.
Now you got your voice. See, did you notice when you got your voice? And you didn't giggle so much.
Fine.
You know that the horse you call Kim, that chestnut. Now you had to ride Kim with a little simple bit.
Yeah, with a snaffle.
And you couldn't handle him. I see that.
He would just, his mouth was so hard, and he would come in there on a cold winter's morning and be so full of himself.
Now, you want to get your place, and the occasion,
the worst time I had on him was that one time. Well, I've been riding Blotch.
See, now that's an incident, like Mr. Patterson said.
Yeah.
I've been riding Blotch, who is not a difficult horse to hold at all. And the whole thing I was trying to think about with Blotch was what I learned to do on this little Arab was to ride from behind and forget the horse's mouth. Well, you try that on Kim. I got switched on to Kim, and it was the first time I'd had to ride him in age, just long weeks. First time I'd had to ride him.
Put it in your place.
In the school.
That's
good.
Put it in
so
you see it.
Let's see the school.
There's,
well, you just.
School over here, just over little sticks out there in the middle of the pasture, and it's beautiful.
Well. I had to take him in the indoor school, which was about the size of that, 60 by 120.
Mm-hmm.
And
but it walls around.
Yeah, it's walls roofed over and inside a building is what it is, with a peat and tan bark floor and kickboards, which are they slanted out up to about 4 feet up the wall, and then the rest of the wall is just like a warehouse wall or something like that.
Oh.
The beauty of it being that you can run a horse straight into the wall without worrying about whether you'll jump it or not, or
yeah,
or go through it or anything.
I don't quite see that.
And a horse. If a horse gets running away with you in a school like that, you can just run him into the boards. I did that once with Ruth, and I had to do it with Kim that day.
Head on,
yeah. So I took him in and I started working him, warming him up. You have about 10 minutes. Before C would come up to take the lesson, you'd have about anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes just to warm your horse up. And I took Kim in and walked him, and he would hardly stay in a walk. He wanted to go. He was just so full of himself. So I let him trot on, and really it was a matter of letting. He just sort of eased up on the reins a bit, and he was off. And pretty before. Once he started trotting on, he got into that strong trot. You can't sit, and you're going so fast you can't rise. And pretty soon he was cantering. And I'd haul him back to a trot. Just saw with the reins, getting back to a trot. And, oh, it's all right, as long as you're working, warming up. Because then all you have to do is keep out of other people's way. And I worked him on a couple of circles, hoping to loosen him up and calm him down. And that didn't seem to have much effect. So we started the lesson, and doggone if you didn't start off with riding school movements. And what you have to do on that is keep a certain distance from the horse in front of you. And you do all these figures in the school, like a figure of eight and changing the rein and circles and all this sort of stuff. And you divide into two rides so that you have horses crossing in front of each other.
Well, that's
while you're doing all that.
Well, that's right to start with that energetic horse, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, as far as I was concerned, I just have to haul him back and hope that I could keep him his proper distance. And sometimes he'd get going too fast, we get to the center, and you're supposed to turn down the center line. If you get there too soon, you run into somebody. And we very nearly just, you know, screeching halt last minute to keep from running into couple of horses. You get glared at when that. And trying to do it, then we went on to, she did sitting trot, and he would rush, and you just have to, I didn't have my stirrups, and he was pulling, and I was trying to sit into the saddle, and he had a rough trot. He had one of the worst trots in the stable. And try to hold him back with one hand and hold on to the saddle with the other. Because this is, until you can relax and sit into the trot, any rider, even the best rider, we were told to just hold on to the front of the saddle until we could relax our backs enough to sit into that trot and really move exactly as the horse moved. But it takes a little while just to relax and do that. I was trying to sit into the trot, and his trot was rough, and he was pulling and throwing his head around. And he would shorten up. He would bring his head up and tuck his chin in and use his strong neck he had just against you. Just use it against you. And trying to sit into that trot. And about the time you get into the trot, you'd realize that he was almost on top of the horse in front of you. And then by the time... So I'd try and haul him back, slow his trot down, and then that would pull me out of the saddle again. Hauling on him would get me up out of the saddle. And I'd have to get back, try and keep down in the saddle and haul back on him at the same time. And it didn't work. And then she said, well, take back your stirrups, and leading files in succession, canter to the rear of the ride. And the horse in front of me, went and cantered off. They go around the school, around the edge, till they reached the last horse in the line and stop. Well, when the horse in front of me went, Kim shortened up, just spread everything up underneath him, and was trying to go off into a canter to follow. And I managed to hold him back to a trot. Something like a trot, anyway. What with him fighting so bad. And then we went into a canter. We were told to go on into canter. Of course, he went straight into canter. That was no problem. But when we got on the round the short end of school and started down the long side, he went into just a full gallop. And there was no stopping him. You could sit back and haul all you wanted to. And if you could turn him when he got down to the, you could slow him enough to get around the short end of the school without falling over. That was it. I considered it an accomplishment. And finally, when he took off with me down the other long side in the same way, and I couldn't hold him, I just ran him into the boards. And that brought back a little bit of sense, which lasted, I think, around the short side. Before we went tearing off down the other long side. And if I ran him into the boards like that, then the next few steps, he wouldn't be sensible. He'd trot, jig, until I'd let him go again, went into canter. And then he'd take off down the long side. And it was by the end of the hour, I was completely exhausted. He was just beginning to calm down enough to be rideable. And he was so hot, and he hadn't been clipped. His coat was still long, like Pussy's. He had a coat like Pussy's. And he was soaking wet. There wasn't a hair that didn't have a drop of water on the end of it. Just standing, you know, little beads of perspiration all over him. And where it had dried, salt caked all over him. And just sloppy wet. And there's nothing for it. You can't put a horse in the stall that way because they're soaking wet, so they get cold. Even if you put rugs on them, they get cold. The only thing for it is to walk them, keep them moving until they're dry, really dry. And with a horse like Kim, that took an hour and a half. And I was lucky, especially in the mood I was in by then, because I was able to grab hold of a child who was spending the day. It was a Saturday, and there were children spending the day, and you could grab hold of any of them and make them do a chore for you. So I nabbed a child who made the mistake of staying up in the gallery too long after the lesson and asked them to walk Kim dry for me, so that I could go up to lunch. Otherwise, I would have had to walk that horse through lunch and gone up later and eaten.
And you were in no humor?
No, I was in no humor.
Well, now, on cross country, at that same time, Kim might have performed for you.
Well, no, not that time. He wouldn't have performed for me. He would have quit. He would have gone charge that particular day.
Yeah.
In that sort of mood,
yeah,
he would have charged up to a jump and stopped. Because he in that sort of mood, he was too flighty.
But you did ride him.
Oh, I rode him on a
beautiful round.
Beautiful round, but that wasn't when he was in that sort of mood.
Oh.
See, the day he took me on that cross country round, he just finished doing an absolutely perfect cross dressage test. Not absolutely perfect. He wasn't the horse to do a perfect dressage test, but it was a nice dressage test. It was one where he responded the best that he was capable of to everything I wanted him to do. And the only thing he did wrong in that dressage test was we got off on the wrong lead once. And it took me a while to get him back on the correct lead because he got tight. He could do this. This is what would happen when he was charging down the boards. He'd go all tense and tight, and you couldn't change his mind then, and he got tight and wouldn't change leads for him. Well, it's so hard to describe something like a cross-country round. We had to start off with it was about 14 jumps. Start off at the bottom of the hill with some little things. And then there was a bank. And when I started him off on it, I knew before I ever started the course that it was going to be great. I started him off on a circle before, and I managed to get him to get his hind legs right underneath him. And really practically walking on his hind legs up to that jump. And after that, there was no stopping in him.
And he knew it.
He knew it. Once we got into that first jump so beautifully, with him all that power, and he was a strong horse, and he had it right there, underneath him, ready to go. And after he landed from that first jump and just took off for the next one, and I was able to get him back, even with the snaffle, I got him back, got him to get his hind legs under him again, and we went for the bank, and he just went straight on up and over it, and on up the hill, and by that time, I knew I didn't have to get him up quite so tight, because he was moving then, and we went up the hill, and at the top of the hill, you made a turn, and then there was a jump. Let's see, what was it like then? It wasn't much. It was only about 3 or 4 feet high. He could do higher, I suppose, but he didn't. He wasn't sort of horse to do it. But it was a rustic fence, what we call a chicken coop in this country. It was slatted on each side of the fence. Angle.
Yeah.
Triangular thing. With the point, the high part, the wide part at the base. And I suppose it's old fashioned hen coops. But they don't look like any kind of hen coop they use now.
I know that.
And Kim.
Cornette had hen coops,
didn't he? I remember somebody in Moorhead having one, but it wasn't Cornette.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kimmy came at this thing and took off a good 5 feet before he needed to, and just flew. Just no hesitation at all. And then I made the only mistake I made on that whole cross country round. And that was, we had a choice of two fences, one of them big and one of them little. And see, I decided before I started that Kimmy was such a terrible horse about jumping and stopping at something he hadn't seen before. He'd stop at things he'd seen, nevertheless something he hadn't seen before. That I would take him over the little one. And I did. And he jumped it well. And we circled around and came back over the drop fence, and he just flew over that drop fence and charged up the hill, finished up, and I was so pleased with him. But he could have taken, oh, he could have taken that other fence. He could have taken that other fence and flown over it. And besides that, if he'd taken the other fence, I would have won the competition. But, oh, it was, I wish. I overcomplicate things.
And Mr. Gilbert, the season's not always clear?
I don't think so. Well, no, let's put it this way. It's not clear on the when you first hear it, or when you even when you hear it the second time. Up there, back to that with his cases.
Yeah.
Follow follow that one right on through.
Now he, all that boy.
Patterson, he's. I just listen. I just almost not hear the words for his voice.
Isn't it?
He doesn't much matter what he says.
This is the end of that little session on Saturday night, the 22nd of November, 69. This is late. It took us a long time to get started, the end of the little session. About bedtime on Saturday night, the 22nd of November, 69. This is channel 2 over, around 6:15. 6:15, channel 2 over, channel 2 over. Around 6:15, at the end of the little session on Saturday night, late about bedtime. On Saturday, the 22nd of November, 69. Channel 2 over, around 6:20 it is now.